Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We love you this morning, Jesus. We magnify you this morning, Jesus. We honor you this morning, Jesus. We bless you this morning, Jesus. We glorify you this morning, Jesus. If you're having back pain, come forward and get hands laid on you. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to heal that for back pain. Praise God. Just come forward. Don't wait. The anointing is strong. Jesus is here. See, when we recognize that Jesus is here, what Jesus does happens. Praise God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We magnify you. Just keep worshiping Him. If there's anybody with back pain, come forward. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We magnify you. Your healing touch this morning, Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you. Yes, if there's anybody struggling with pain in their neck, come forward. The Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to set you free for neck pain. Don't delay. Come forward. Hallelujah. The anointing is strong and He wants to heal you this morning. I'm just waiting on Him, because if He wants to do more, we'll let Him do more. But we acknowledge that He was here. We had faith that He was here, and He's not going to do it Himself. He's going to work through people. And so that's why these things are happening. Hallelujah. And if more churches and if more people would acknowledge Him in their lives, they'd see more power in their lives. You got to acknowledge that He's present. We bless you, Father. We glorify you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus. Neck pain, Rick? In the name of Jesus. We curse any pain that's in there. In the name of Jesus. You come out of Him. All pain, you come out of Him. In the name of Jesus Christ. From the top of His head to the bottom of His feet, we command healing, because that's what belongs to that child of God. That is what belongs to that child of God. That is what belongs to that child of God. Back pain, Lynn? In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command all pain in her back to go. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we say the anointing, the power of God flowing through her body right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What, neck, back? Neck and foot. Hallelujah. Well, He's an all healer. Praise God. And we're going to command everything from the top to the bottom. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Glory to God. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. From the top to the bottom of her feet. Healed and whole in Jesus' name. Healed and whole in Jesus' name. Rosa, what's going on? Back, neck? Okay, let's just believe God for it all. Amen. Oh, you're so sweet. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, we curse and we command all pain, all symptoms, all sickness to go from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Be healed and be whole in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Just worship the healer. It's not the pastor, it's the healer, Jesus. We glorify and magnify you. We honor you this morning. We bless your name. 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 You know, the presence of God is everywhere. The Bible says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, the presence of God is the abilities of God. The presence of God is the power of God. And some people have that working in their life in a greater measure than other people. Well, what's the difference? The difference is some people acknowledge that it's there. Amen? Amen. Some people acknowledge that God is with them, the healer. If you don't acknowledge it, if you don't have faith for it, if you don't believe in it, you won't see that. Praise God. Why do some people seem to have it working? Well, they acknowledge. And this morning we've put an emphasis that He's here. Praise God. He's here in the name of Jesus. And so we're just so thankful, Father, for all that you are doing in our midst. All that you are doing in our midst. And see, it's important that we recognize, especially if you're new to this and you have not seen this, if Jesus is the same And Jesus used to touch people for healing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, He's not here in the flesh anymore. He's going to work through His body. He's going to work through the church. That's why He's going to work through you. You might be at work and someone says that they're not feeling good or their child's not doing well. And in your spirit, you know, the Lord's telling you, lay hands on them. Administer healing to them. Praise God. Because Jesus isn't here to do it anymore, but you are. Amen. And see, we don't get less. When He left, we don't get less. Because He said, it's advantageous or expedient that I go away. Well, that would mean everything would have to be better. Because they had healing with Him around. Well, we can't not have healing because that wouldn't be better. It's always better to have healing, but He's not the one that's going to do it. It's going to be administered through ministers and through the body of Christ. And so that's why He calls things out and has people come up. And through the transfer of laying on of hands, people are made whole. So if you had hands laid on, you just jump in with faith. Say, I got my healing. I got my healing. Praise God. Amen. Well, thank You for the Word this morning, Father. We glorify, we bless You, we magnify You. Thank You that we're going to say what You want said this morning. We're going to do what You want done. Father, I didn't have that in my plans or in my notes or even in my thoughts. Father, just dropped in me like a ton of bricks, actually. And I thank You for it. Father, these are the kind of things we need to happen. These are the kind of things that we need to see. So we thank You, Father, for Your healing power. We thank You for the Word this morning. Hit bullseyes in people's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. We like that kind of stuff when hands are laid on people and power of God hits people and there's demonstrations and, you know, all the people that came up, I had no idea that they were facing what they were facing. And so we like that. That's neat when God does things like that. But it's important to understand that it's the Word that sets us free. Amen. That we need to crave the Word just as much as we crave the demonstrations. Because Jesus said, if you'll know the truth, He didn't say, if you'll know the hands laying on you. He didn't say, if you know the healing line. He said, no, if you know the truth. So when we step over into the Word, don't let your expectation level go down because, oh, I was hoping He'd call out more and we'd see more. No, we're about to see a show here with the Word. Amen. That sets you free. Amen? So we have a high priority and we place a high value on the Word in this place because the Word keeps us straight. The Word sets us free. So go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 10 this morning. Just going to follow the Holy Spirit on what to share. Glory to God. Amen. The Word is good. Amen. When you're filled with the Word is when it'll work for you. Right. When you get excited about the Word, and that's biblical. Yeah. He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. You got to want His things. You got to be excited about His things. And I know what flesh is like because I've been in services before where I'm like, I just hope it's a short one. I just hope it's not going to take very long today. And I just hope that we get through this. And I've been there and your flesh feels that way. But man, thank God we're better than that. We don't live by our flesh. Yeah. We're excited about what Jesus is going to say this morning. And you might think, well, He's just saying that. So when He preaches, it's easier for Him to preach. That's not the truth. I could care less if there's 1,000 people here or 10,000 people or one. It would be the same. Amen. If there were 5 in here, I'd preach it the same way. If there were 5 million, I wouldn't change a thing. And so I want you to be able to receive what's being preached because I'm not going to change it. It's just going to be the same no matter what. So in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, Caleb, against the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. So the Bible says in verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against the natural realm. Our fight in our battle is not in the natural realm. It's important for you to understand that because when you know where your battle is, you'll know where to attack. You'll know where to go. I remember Caleb's got some cousins, Logan and Nate, and they have this big TV in their basement. And it's where we got our inspiration for our popcorn machine because they have a real-life popcorn machine, don't they? And we just thought that was Adidas thing, that you could just have movie theater popcorn anytime you want. So we just had to get one of those things. Amen. That's what we did. And that was your Christmas present this year, wasn't it? Big old bowl wrapped. Oh, we just love that thing. So if you want some popcorn, you know where to come. And they have this big TV, and they're like, I think Logan's 16 or 17, and Nate's like 14 or 15. I'm not sure but their exact age. But they play these video games on the screen, and they're playing these games They're like war games where they're shooting people and stuff, but they have the headsets on. And you have to understand, I don't play, so the ignorance is going to come out in me, for those of you that are up to date on this stuff. And they're playing with people and talking to people all over the world, like online. That's right, isn't it? I didn't miss it. And they're like people from other countries, and I thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. That, wow, you can play with people all over the world, talk to them and stuff online. That's neat. And, well, glory to God. Amen. Abby's not here, so that was not mine. So shame on, I'm just kidding. And, because usually when someone screams like that, that's Abby. Oh, I've heard that before. But, and so they're playing all over the world, and it's so confusing. Bombs are going off, and people are popping out of, and it's just everyone running around, and I'm just so confused. I'm like, how do you know who to shoot? And, I made this comment, you know, do people ever shoot one another on accident? Oh yeah. And so I thought, ooh, that would be fun. I want to see you, the guy that you're playing with that's from another country, shoot him. And he's, oh, people get so mad at people that do stuff like that. And that's what I'd want to do, you know, really cause trouble. And they say, well, then they just won't let you play in their game or whatever. But I'm like, just do it for me. Just pop them. I want to see it. And so they do it, and he keeps doing it for me because I'm getting a kick out of it, and it's really hamming it up, and I'm just laughing because I'm starting to hear the guy get mad and start to say things you're not supposed to say and things. And so then he just stopped playing that game and you know, said that's not what you want to do. But if I were to play one of those games, I would have no idea who my enemy was. It was so I mean, I'm sure I'd learn, but it was so confusing. I would at times, not just on purpose, but at times accidentally shoot my own guy friendly fire. Amen? And a lot of times, Christians, they don't understand what the root of their problem is. It's not your job. It's not your spouse. It's not the doctor's report. It's not the symptoms in your body. It's not your checkbook. It's not that relationship. It's not your boss. It's not a family member. No, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not where our problem. Now, it will manifest in that realm. It'll manifest in that realm. It'll show up in that realm, praise God. I mean, not praise God that it shows up in that realm, but praise God that we know where it shows up.
Right.
It shows up, it'll show up in your body. It'll show up in your finances. It'll show up in people. But that's not the root of the problem. And if you don't go after the root, you're going to have trouble. I lack in botany skills. I do not have a green thumb. And we had our other house there. They had some shrubs along the front of it, and there was some sort of tree growing up against the foundation, and it started just real little, but I was lazy. And all I had to do was go pluck that thing out, right? And let it go for years, and it started to grow up. Well, I thought, man, I better take care of that, because I heard somewhere along the line, you know, this is just, again, my ignorance coming out, that it's not good for those to grow along the foundation, that they could get under there and cause cracks and things. And so I went and tried to yank that thing out of the ground. And I'm yanking, and I'm yanking, and I'm yanking, and it's not coming. So I thought, I'll take care of this. I just don't want to see it anymore. I'll just break it off. Well, that doesn't take care of the problem, does it?
No.
The roots are still
sure.
Viable. And that's what Christians do at times, as they don't go after the root of the issue, and they're battling out here, and they're battling the wrong thing, and the real enemy, well, what would you do if you... How many have you ever gotten... I did this all the time when I was younger. Done something and someone else got the blame for it and they're taking the heat for it and you just sit back going, woohoo, I like this. I get away with it and just watch them get in trouble. Right? Well, that's what the devil's sitting back doing. People are getting mad at people. People are focusing on their bodies. People are focusing on their checkbooks, their job. They're thinking about things. And it's the wrong enemy that we need to be focusing against. And the devil's sitting back saying, ooh, let's just keep them in this ignorant stage. Let's keep them in this phase of ignorance that they're in. And that way they won't go after the root of the problem, which is me, the devil's saying. Because the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness, poverty, depression, fear, anxiety, and worry, people in the flesh giving you a hard time, the root of those problems, now again, they'll show up in the natural, but the root of those problems is the devil. The root of sickness is the devil. There was no sickness till the devil stepped on the scene. There was no poverty or lack until the devil stepped on the scene. He is the root of all those problems. And the Bible says our fight is not in the natural realm, it's in the spiritual realm. And so we need to know that so we can go. But see, not only do you need to know where your battle is, You need to know your place in the battle.
That's right. That's good.
If you don't know your place in the battle, you might just be... And when I say this, please understand something. I'm not saying it to be mean, to be harsh, or to criticize anybody. But you really... And I'm not bringing attention to me either, because all I'm doing, all you're receiving, is because Pastor knows how to read. Right? I mean, and when I follow the Holy Ghost, it's just because God was good enough to tell me, and I was just smart enough to listen. But it's nothing that I drummed up. So what I'm about to say is to pray with people down there to bring attention to me, but you're in a bubble.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people realize how good you have it in the church that you are in. The reason I say that is because I've come from places, Courtney came from places, and a lot of my family and friends are still in those places, that they don't tell you anything about what the Word says. That it's tradition, it's religion, it's 3 points in a poem, it's just, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, some of the things that I have actually heard people say, coming from other churches, one minister got up and said, a minister got up in his church to start off the service and said, well, if you're visiting here today, you're not going to have to worry about any of that health and wealth gospel here. Health and wealth, that's my Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
He is health and wealth.
That's right.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I wish that for you, God is saying. Amen?
Amen.
And people, we don't understand the bubble that we're in, and how good that we have it. The majority of the body of Christ has no idea about their place and what belongs to them. And because of that, the majority of the body of Christ are not walking in divine health, are not walking in the blessings of provision, are not walking in the freedom of fear, depression, anxiety, and worry. They're tormented. It's always this mentality of when I get to heaven, then I'll finally be free from all of this. Now, it's true. We will be free from things in the world that we won't have to deal with, but we can have heaven on earth right now.
Amen.
The only difference between heaven on earth here and there is it comes challenged down here.
Sure.
But so what? He gave us faith.
Amen.
If you don't like a challenge, then stop claiming you're a more than a conqueror.
Amen.
If you don't like challenge, then stop saying that you're an overcomer. Because you can't be an overcomer and a conqueror without having to overcome and conquer some things.
Right.
You can't wear that belt, that championship belt of overcoming and conquering, unless you're going to overcome and conquer things. And so because the majority of the body of Christ has no idea, they think that sickness is the norm. They think that poverty and lack and struggle is the norm. That's what they think. They think that, well, okay, I guess mama had this and grandma had this, and great-grandma had this, and this ran in our family, and so this is just my lot in life. They think those things, right?
Yeah.
And then they think that's normal, and because they think it's normal, they just put up with it. It's not normal. But if they knew their place, maybe they would kick and scream a little more when their place goes to be removed. I am a huge Chicago Cubs fan, and they are... notorious for being called the lovable losers. Well, that's why I joined up with them, because I'm not a loser. I'm going to help them win. That's a joke, by the way. They've stunk just as bad as ever since I've come to like them. But they did pretty well last year. But anyway, I became a fan of them. Most people in New York, and I don't understand why. I mean, this is just, to me, the dumbest thing in the world, are Yankee fans. Jeff. Anyways... Yankees or Mets fans, you know, maybe Cleveland Indians or Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, I was a Cubs fan because my grandma watched me growing up, and my bedtime was, most of the games were at nighttime, and my bedtime was before that game started, so I never got to see those teams play. But the Cubs always had day games on, WGN. And I'd watch them at 2:20 almost every day in the summer. And because I watched them, I grew fond of them and got to see a lot of their games. I'm just a baseball fanatic. I love it. And became a huge Chicago Cubs fan. Well, a few years back before I started pastoring and I was the after-school coordinator at that elementary school in Jamestown, we had a conference in Chicago. And I went to that conference. Courtney went with me. And I took a couple days earlier to go there to go see Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field is the place where the Chicago Cubs play. And my yellow lab is named Wrigley. And that's why. Not because of the gum. Because of the field. And Wrigley Field is kind of like the Mecca, it's the second oldest stadium in baseball, the first being Fenway Park in Boston. It's like a Mecca. You walk in, it's still got the old scoreboard up there, they don't have a big jumbotron, it's still got the brick wall in the back with ivy growing on it, it's kind of old and beat up a little bit, it's still kind of got that old-time baseball feel to it. And a lot of baseball fans, even if they're not Cubs fans, want to travel to see Wrigley Field. Now they're updating it now and making it more modern, but when I went, it was still old, they didn't have any of the sponsors on the outfield walls or the things that they do now. And I went and saw the Chicago Cubs play, and it was one of the years that they stunk, and they were playing another team at the time that stunk, which was the Pittsburgh Pirates. So there wasn't a great demand for the tickets. And I got on one of those websites like StubHub or something where people go that maybe have season tickets and they can't go to that game, and so they put them online to sell them to try to at least get back a little bit of the money. Well, I wanted good seats. If I was going to go to Wrigley Field, I wanted good seats. And I found on StubHub two tickets for the third baseline right in the front row where the field is right there. And normally those tickets being sold like that would be very pricey, but I got them very reasonably because nobody wanted to see those two teams play. And it was a day game and some people are working and things, so I got that. I got those tickets, looked up the seating chart before I got them and knew exactly where I was sitting, paid for them, had the credit card receipt. And we walked into the stadium, and we're walking in at the lower level, and there's that field so beautiful and green. There's the ivy and the brick wall back, the old scoreboard, and the players looking awesome in their uniforms, and the balls getting thrown around, and it was awesome. Until I looked down, and as I'm walking down, I knew we were in the front row, and I started to kind of look at the seating, what numbers were what in my ticket, and I said, there's two people in our seat. And immediately, fear came over me. Because here I'm thinking, oh, I'm not a very confrontational person anyways, but all sorts of thoughts are going through my head. What if they messed it up? What if my ticket's false for some reason? I knew it wasn't because the website was reputable. Actually, we might even have got the tickets from the field itself. I can't remember. Whatever we got them from was reputable. But all these thoughts are going in my head, and I'm walking in, and I see there's someone in my place. And I have a choice. I have a choice. I can walk in and I can see, oh, I guess I'm not going to be sitting where I thought I was today. There's already somebody there. Or, because I have the receipt and I have the ticket that's got my rightful place on it, because when I pay for the ticket, it's got my credit card receipt with my name on it for that ticket, for that seat, and I can go take my place because that's what belongs to me and that's mine. Or, I can be what most people are like in the body of Christ. I guess I just have to be sick. I guess being broke is just part of this life down here. I guess it's normal to be worrying. It's normal to be fretful. It's normal to be fearful. And you can do that, or you can know, like I knew, I'm thinking, no, I know that's my seat. That's my seat. I just paid for that. And you can know where your seat is and say, wait a second, sickness doesn't belong in this seat. Poverty does not belong in this seat. Worry and oppression and depression and all sorts of oppressions, they don't belong in this seat. Abundant life belongs in this seat. And it would have been very tempting, because I'm sure those people liked those seats. And I'm sure that because the stadium was kind of empty and things, I'm sure they thought, well, maybe we can get away with it. And I'm sure they're not going to be happy. But I'm like, listen, no way. I got the ticket. This is mine, praise God. I'm not going to let that fear and things. And so we told, just said, this is, I didn't even tell him, or some of my seat. I just showed the usher that takes you to your seat, that wipes down your seat for you. It's just, here's my ticket. And he went, and he took care of it for me. Yeah. Kind of like God does.
Amen. That's
when you know your place.
Yeah.
And you get, and you, I just put my faith in him. I said, oh, he'll deal with it. He knows where the seats are. He knows he's going to ask for a ticket. Now, see, there would have been a problem if I'd have went there and said, my seat are down there. He might not even have walked me there. He said, let me see your ticket. Yeah. And if I don't have a ticket and I don't have that confidence, well, then I'm not going to get those seats.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you don't know your seat, I've heard pastor talk about healing before. So what? You got to know it. Well, I've heard pastor talk about that healing's ours. Do you really know that healing's yours and prosperity's yours? Do you really know where you're seated? Because if you don't know where you're seated, you're not going to show the ticket.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's so good, isn't he?
Praise God.
And I could let them stay there, but I'll just take this sickness. I'll just deal with it. I'll just whatever. Mm-mm. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Praise his name forevermore.
Amen.
Ephesians 1 and verse 16. Paul says this. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now it's important, before we even go on to see what he's praying, to understand something about the prayer life of Paul. Paul, if anybody that knew the word and knew the way of God, would have been him. The Bible says that he was schooled personally by Jesus Christ. No man taught him the revelation. Like, for example, some of the things that maybe you have learned from me, you learned them from a man. Paul didn't go to Bible school. Paul didn't sit in church and learn about the revelation of righteousness or learn about the authority of the believer and what belongs to the Christian. The Bible says Jesus Christ taught him. Now that's awesome. There ain't no better teacher than that. Well, he would have known more than anybody what the will of God is. And he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, it's important that you know something about praying. First of all, let's take the whole religious, scary notion away from praying. All praying is communication with your Father.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's different ways to pray. Just like Caleb communicates with me, but there's different ways that he'll communicate with me. Same with the Father. All it is communication with him. But one important fact about prayer that you need to know, hold your place here and go with me to 1 John chapter 5. You need to know this so you're not ignorant when you pray.
Amen.
Ephesians 5 and verse 14 says, we'll pull that up on the screen, 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, what's asking? Asking is just prayer. It's one form of prayer, right? A petition, desiring of God, a supplication, a request. That's just prayer. So if we ask anything, now get this, this is where it's important, according to his will. Well, look what happens when you ask according to his will. The Bible says, he heareth us. Well, to get God's ear turned towards your situation, your prayers have to be according to his will. Well, what's his will? Whatever he would speak in your heart or whatever is in the word.
Amen.
Well, if we pray according to his will, he hears us. Do you know what that tells me? That the majority, again, when I say majority, because we live in a bubble, you might think, he might just be saying that to add emphasis. No, I'm telling you, the majority of the body of Christ's prayers are going up to the ceiling, hitting the ceiling, and coming right back down. They're not even getting through the top wall to get to God. Why? Because a lot of the body of Christ, if you listen to how they pray, is not according to the will of God. It's doubt, it's unbelief, it's weakness, it's fear, it's worry-based. That's not the will of God. And the Bible says that if you want him to hear you, you better pray according to his will. So praying according to his will gets his ear turned towards you. I heard Brother Hagin say this one time in a message. He said, it would do most Christians, and he said the word most Christians just as good to twiddle their thumbs and to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are. It would do that much good as what their prayer life is doing. Because they're not praying according to God's will.
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to some Christians pray. Oh, Father, I know I'm not worthy. Canceled out his ear. Then you are worthy.
Yeah.
Jesus made you worthy.
That's right.
And to say you're not worthy is to say the blood wasn't good enough for you.
Yeah.
Oh, Father, I know that if I were you, I wouldn't do anything for me. Canceled out. Because if you were God, you would do something for your children. And God loves you and wants to do something for you.
That's right.
Oh, I know, I don't deserve. Can't. There you go again.
Yeah.
Just defeat, doubt, unbelief. That's the way most people pray.
Sure.
And then they'll pray it this way. Oh, Lord, if it be thy will. Don't put the pressure on him
right
to find out what the will of God is. Go to prayer knowing the will of God,
yeah,
knowing you'll get his ear.
Amen.
Oh, if it be thy will, stretch forth your hand and touch us. You know you've heard people pray that way. If it be thy will, then do this and do that. Why don't you find out what his will is? So you can go and request of him. Because see, even though his will is what it is, it still has to be prayed out. Because God's will doesn't automatically take place on the earth. So we got to find out what his will is and then pray that out and request of him. He said, I know what you have need of before you ask me. Well, doesn't he say I'll supply all your needs? Well, see, he's not going to supply all your needs until you request and have faith for him. Even though the Bible says he knows what you have need of before you ask him. There still has to be an asking. Because the asking or the releasing of faith gives him permission to work on a world that's run by the devil. But Jesus came and took the devil by storm and gave the authority back to the church. So now we pray and it unties God's hands. Even though God already knows what you need, you still got to have faith for it. Even though God already knows what you need, you still have to request and go after it.
Amen.
If he hears us. We'll go to verse 15. It says, and if we know that he hears us. Well, how can we know? Oh, I don't even know if God's listening. Well, how do you know if God's listening? The Bible promises you if you'll pray according to his will.
Yeah.
He'll hear you. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, stop. Now get this now. This is going to change your life. Stop getting God to try to do something for you. Just get God to listen and the doing will come with it. Because he said, because see, the hearing equals the having. If you can get him to hear, the Bible says you have it. So stop trying to figure out how to get it. Just get him to hear you.
Amen.
Hearing equals having.
Praise God.
Changed my life. I don't know about you. Changed my life.
Amen.
I have to stop trying to figure out how I'm going to get all the money. Stop trying to figure out where all this is going to come from. All the building, all the things we're going to have to do. Nope, I just got to get God to hear me. That's all my job is to get my Father to hear me. And the only way I do that is pray according to his will.
Amen.
If I can get him to hear me, I can have it.
Yeah.
Because the hearing equals the having. Go back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 16. So then Paul, the reason I bring that up is he says, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. So we know that Paul is going to pray according to the will of God, because why would he pray outside of the will of God? He would want God to hear him.
Right.
He would want those things to be had that he's praying for, and the only way he can do that is by the verse we just looked at, got to get God to hear you according to his will.
Amen.
So Paul's making mention of you in his prayers. So he's praying the will of God. Well, let's look at what he's praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, now he's praying this for a church, the church at Ephesus, the Father of glory would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. One thing that I preach a lot about, and we talk a lot about here, is that you got to know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you're destroyed. If you don't know, right, we looked at that a couple weeks ago, I believe, that you won't be set free because Jesus said you have to know the truth, right? It's not enough that there is a God. It's not enough that there is a Bible. It's not enough that there is a Jesus. You got to know them.
Amen.
Do you know that people gather in denominations in different places that believe in him and they gather for him? And so he shows up in their services.
Yeah.
But do you know they'll never have a healing line or things called out? Why? They don't acknowledge or know fully who he is. He's in but the same Jesus is in their services, that's in our services, but we get more out of him only because we know.
Amen.
Because if you know the truth, you're set free. They just don't know he's a healer. They just don't know he's a provider and a deliverer. That's why they don't see it in their services. Not that he's holding back from them. Not that he's different. He's the same guy. We just know, and if you know. So Paul's saying, I'm praying that you would know, because if you don't know, in the knowledge of him. Well, what's the knowledge of him? His healing, his deliverance, his protection, his financial blessing and provision. That's him.
Amen.
He said, I'm praying that you would know it, because if you know it, you'll act on it.
That's right.
It's like if you find out, you come into the know that someone left you money and a will and an inheritance, you're going to act on that. You're going to go to the lawyers, go to the bank, do whatever you have to do to get that money in your name.
Yeah.
But if you don't know it, you'll sit back and not do anything about it.
Right.
Same thing. Paul said, I got to get you to know. So I'm praying that spirit of wisdom and revelation would come unto you and you would know in the knowledge of him. That you would know what he did for you on the cross.
Right.
The majority of the body of Christ think that salvation was just the forgiveness of sins. And that's just where it started.
Yeah.
It includes peace in your mind. It includes healing in your body. It includes finances for your life.
Right.
Most people don't know that. Paul's saying, you need to know. You need to know. He's saying that the eyes, verse 18, of your understanding would be enlightened. That you would know. There's that word know again. The hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory is of his inheritance in the saints. He's saying, you got to know what's available to you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You ever had money that you didn't know was in a pocket? Isn't that the most exciting thing in the world? When you put on a pair of jeans and you pull out a 10 or a 20, it's like, wow, that was awesome. But yet that money was there the whole time. And maybe you pull it out and you'll know it and you'll go and use that money for something. But the money was there the whole time, but you weren't able to use it because you didn't know. And he said, I need you to know what the riches of the glory are for the inheritance in the saints, because if you know, oh, you'll act on them.
Amen.
Just like when you walk into that stadium and you know that those are your seats, oh, I'm going for it. When you walk into what I like to call Abundant Life Stadium, which is filled with seats of healing, which is filled with seats of provision, when somebody's in your seat or your seat's being occupied, say, that's my seat.
Amen.
That belongs to me.
Right.
Just the same way, if a stranger walked into your house with a bag instead of taking things off your shelf and emptying out your cupboard, you're not going to just stand there and say, well, this is interesting. You're going to put a stop to that. Why? Because that's your stuff.
That's right. Amen.
Same way, when you know your seat and the devil comes in and sickness tries to rob you, because that's all sickness does is steal, kill, and destroy. It's a robber. When financial problems come and peace and people and jobs, all those things come to rob you, it's like someone invading your house and putting stuff off their shelf, off your shelf into their bag. And just like you wouldn't in your house, you're going to start saying when you know, no, this is not normal. You can't have my health. It's my health. You can't have my provision. Praise God. And he says in verse 19, and I want you to know more. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now this is what I want you to see. What did we say in Ephesians 6 and verse 10? Verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, right? Spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, that is the four levels of the devil's kingdom. Spiritual wickedness in high places being the highest, principalities being the lowest, and it goes up from there to spiritual wickedness in high places. And he says here that he put Jesus at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now look at verse 21. Far above.
Amen.
Far above. Well, that doesn't mean, see, right now I'm just a little bit above Caleb, but if you put me up in an airplane, that would be far above, wouldn't it? Even if I step on this chair, I wouldn't really consider that far above. I'd still be above him, but not far above him. But put me up on the ceiling, or put me up on the roof, or put me up in an airplane, that's far above. And the Bible says that Jesus has been, and Paul said, I want you to know this. See, he's saying, you need to know this. It's not just that it was, but you need to know that it was. That Jesus was placed far above, now look at what he's placed above. Principality, power, might, and dominion. Hallelujah. We're closing here in a few minutes. That's why I'm not going to have him open that door. And we'll just get through this here. Principality, power, might, and dominion. Far above it. Far above it. Jesus has been placed. What? Far above the very thing that your struggle is. Where your battle is, your Jesus was seated far above. That's signifying a place of authority. Power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, poverty is a name, sickness is a name, not only in this world, but that which is to come, right?
Hallelujah.
Verse 22, and has put all things under his feet. Well, the devil's all things. Sickness is all things. Under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now I'm going to show you something. Buddy, would you come up here? Would you lay on the floor on your back for me? Yeah, lay on your back. Okay. You're the devil. Just for right now. Okay? Not when you get home. Not at bedtime. Just right now. And I'm Jesus. I know. That's hard to believe, but I'm Jesus. And he's the devil. So the Bible says that Jesus has been placed far above the devil. And the Bible says that it's been put all things under his feet. What's so funny? All things. Stop laughing, would you? I'm trying to have church here. All things under his feet. He's got a hard time doing anything right now. He can squirm and squirm and squirm, but I have authority over him. I'm going to keep him down. All things under his feet. What? The principalities, the powers, the might, the dominion. Well, the Bible says put all things under his feet and gave Jesus to be the head. My head is not holding him down. My feet are holding him down. Verse 23. Put all things under his feet. Gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the devil, principalities and powers. Your Jesus has been placed far above it, but the Bible says he's just the head. My head is not holding him down. What's holding him down is my body. Guess who the body is? You are. The feet are you. That means all things, principalities, powers, dominion, have been placed under your feet. You have been given authority. That's your seat. Thanks, bud. You can sit down. Hallelujah. And go with me to Ephesians 2 and verse 5, just in case you need to see this even more. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, verse 6, and made us sit together. Well, that's wonderful that we're sitting with Jesus, but it's not wonderful if you don't know where he's seated. Where is he seated? Far above. He's been raised up and made to sit far above. What? Principalities and powers. What's the big deal about that? That's the exact thing that your battle's at. You've been placed far above to sit with Jesus. All things are under your feet, praise God. And so when you realize that, and you recognize that the root, that you got to go to the root, like that, breaking off that branch isn't going to do the job. If I want to make sure that foundation is safe, I need to dig that thing up and pull that thing out from the roots. You got to go to the root of the problem, which is the devil, and deal with him. See, some of the battles that you have with people, I remember there was a girl in Olean, young girl that was getting someone in school, a boy and a girl were giving her a hard time and really just making life really hard for her. She came and told me, and just tearful, you know, that's one thing I hate about school, people just being mean and stuff like that. Well, it makes me mad. And I said, I need her faith because it's her situation. I said, let's take authority over that. See, you can battle that in the natural. She's already told people in the natural. They didn't do anything about it. She's already told them in the natural. I said, the devil's influencing them. Let's take authority over that. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command right now. I said, all you need to do is agree with me. Because the Bible says where two or three agree on earth is touching anything they ask, it'll be done for them. I said, in the name of Jesus. Now this will help you, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have someone that's giving you a hard time, that's giving your kids a hard time, somebody that maybe a boss that's unreasonable, a coworker that's unreasonable, this will help you. I said, in the name of Jesus, devil, you take your hands off this situation, you cease and desist your maneuvers against her right now. It wasn't 2 weeks later, he got moved to a different school, and when he was gone, she did nothing. Now every time I ask her, you have any problems with him anymore? Nope. Dealt with it in the spirit realm. Took authority. We went to the root of the problem. Amen. And see, a lot of people are battling it in the natural. No. You got to go back to the cross, the spiritual root of sickness, where it was paid for by Jesus on the cross, and you got to get that revelation. Great for medicine and great for treatments. But my goodness, some things we're not going to be able to fix in the natural. You got to go to the root. Amen. Same with financial things. Yeah. Same thing. The devil would love to hold back your money. He's got authority over the monetary system in the world. It's his right to it until the believer comes and says, you take your hands off my money. That's why every day I say, Satan, you keep your hands. I've already told him to take it off. Now I just remind him, you keep your hands off the church's money. You keep your hands off the business owners of this church. You keep your hands off the individual money of this church. You keep your hands off our money. You're not permitted to touch our money. That's dealing with it in the spirit realm. That's not looking for extra jobs, just trying to go about it a natural way. That's going at it the spiritual way.
That's good.
He's would love to withhold your money and your finances. Love to withhold your healing.
Sure.
Go to the root of the problem. Yeah. And see, when you realize where you're seated with healing. Yeah. You're seated with prosperity and peace and joy and all those. And so when they come to rob you, you'll get mad as a hornet and take back what's yours.
Amen.
Christians are so casual towards sickness and lack in different things. Can't be. How mad would you be if a stranger came in and started emptying out your belongings?
Yeah.
You wouldn't let that go.
That's right.
And so he said, we're sit together in heavenly places. Now in closing, I want to mention this to you. Kenneth Hagin, who was the foremost prophet of the world during this time, during the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and in the early 2000s, and he's responsible for Rhema churches all over the world. He's responsible really for the word of faith plowing through and becoming what we know. Now, when I say word of faith, I'm talking about we see something in the word, we believe it, we speak it, and it comes to pass. That's what the word of faith is. And he really is responsible. Now, he didn't write it or come up with it, but he's really responsible for spearheading the popularity or the revelation of that. Hundreds of books came out under his ministry. Churches sprung up. Ministers sprung up. I'm only teaching what I teach because of that man's faithfulness. And so many people are benefiting from it. Now, he made this statement. If you go back to verse 16 of chapter 1, he made this statement. He said this. He pastored for 12 years. He said the most progress and growth that he ever saw in the people that he pastored and in his own personal life was when he took these prayers in Ephesians. See, because here's what you have to understand. Those prayers are the word of God. Well, Jesus said, my words are spirit. Spirit never passes away. The Bible says your outward man perishes, but your inward man, which is your spirit, is renewed day by day. Your spirit will never grow old, will never wear out or rust out. And so he's saying, when Jesus said, my words are spirit, that's why the Bible, 2,000 years later, now there's some cultural things in there that are a little different, but the gist of the word of God is still pertinent. Why? Because it's spirit words. It didn't pass away with any expiration date. I heard one minister say, well, the days of going by what the Bible says have passed. Oh, you're mistaken, bud. They're spirit words. Things in the spirit never pass away. The spirit realm lives on forever. And so Paul prayed these prayers for the Ephesian church, but just because they're for that church, because they're spirit words, we can benefit from them. And Brother Hagin said the most he ever got advancement in people and himself was when he prayed these prayers for himself several times over a span of time. Now, I'm going to show you what that looks like and how to do that. But I could stand up here and I could tell you testimony after testimony of people that have grown leaps and bounds when I've prayed these for them. When spouses have started praying these for their spouse religiously and faithfully, when parents have started praying these for their children, when children who want their parents to be on fire for God have started praying them for their parents, it's awesome, the power. Because remember what James said. He said, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or makes tremendous power available. When you pray the word of God, you're making tremendous power available. So I'm going to show you real quick, and then we'll close the service, what I mean by this. Start praying these for yourself, and start praying these for other people. Now, you can't pray these for people that are not saved. These are prayers for born-again Christians. Paul prayed these for the Ephesian church. People that are born again won't have the eyes of their understanding enlightened. They don't need that. They need their spirit reborn and regenerated, totally made new. They don't need the eyes of their spirit to be open. They need it to be made new. Amen. So you can't pray these from believers. But go with me to verse 16. Now I'm gonna pray this as if I was praying it for my son. Now you can put your name in there. You can put your spouse's name. You can put your children's name. You can put your parents' name. You can put a coworker's name that's a Christian. See, if you're wondering, well, this person, I just need them to understand healing. Well, didn't Paul in these prayers, and we'll see it again, pray that they would know the knowledge of him? I just need my spouse to understand. They're born again, but I need them to understand how blessed we'd be if they'd start tithing. Pray these prayers. I need my spouse to understand what it would be like if we'd actually be generous and start sowing. Pray these prayers. Because that's all Word of God stuff. And he said, pray that the knowledge of him would become a reality. You want to see change in Christians that you know that are close to you? Pray these prayers and be faithful. You want to see your kids turn around? Pray these prayers and be faithful at it. Absolutely. Now let's look at them. Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God, now this is how I pray. I'll say, Father, you are the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, Paul said that would give unto you. He's praying for the Ephesian church, but I can make that personal. I can pray it for someone else. So I pray it this way. That you give unto Caleb the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. That the eyes of Caleb's understanding would be enlightened. That he would know the hope of his calling and the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that Caleb would know the exceeding greatness of your power towards him who believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, yada, yada, all the rest of that verse. Well, when I pray for Caleb, according to the word of God, 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, because I'm praying the word of God, I got God's ear. Because I got God's ear, I have what I pray for. So I can know that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is being directed unto him, and the eyes of his understanding are being enlightened to know the hope of his calling, and the riches of glory, and the exceeding greatness of his power. All those things I can be assured, because I prayed the will of God, and the Bible's true.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, you want to make advancements, and you want to get... See, we have to remember, there are going to be seasons and times where we pray for longer times. Absolutely. But these prayers take maybe a minute long, but a minute long prayer filled with faith will do a whole lot more than an hour long prayer filled with doubt and unbelief.
Yeah, right.
Understand what I mean when I say this. If it went by how much we pray, the Hindus and the Muslims have smoked us. Because they pray all the time. And I'm not, now when I say this, understand this, I'm not down on the Hindu or the Muslim. I love all people, but I will say this and not shy away from it. Jesus said he's the only way.
Right.
So when I say this, and I know it's not politically correct to say this, but I'm not here to be politically correct. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to Father except through me. Not Muhammad, not Buddha. And so when they're praying, as long as they're praying, it's a waste of time. Now, I know it sounds harsh, like I'm not coming down on them. They just don't know.
Right.
And the other thing that separates them and us is we know. Jesus is the only difference. My God, my heart goes out to them. But my point is they pray all the time, long stretches of prayers, and it does nothing.
Right.
We can pray these prayers in 2 minutes, direct our faith, and have worlds and lives be changed all around us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise his holy name. And you know what about that whole political correctness? Because even when I preach that, there's such a pressure that comes from the devil. I didn't say all that. Jesus stood up himself and declared to the world, I'm it. And then all these people come in, and you get celebrities that come in and say, oh, that's such a closed-minded thing that Jesus would be the only way. No, I think that it's a sign of mercy that God even made a way. Jesus, it's not closed-minded, it's mercy. There's a way. People, oh no, there's a million different ways, not according to our Savior, the guy that we follow.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. We don't need to shy away from that.
Right.
I never will, you know. Praise the name of Jesus. So anyways, you can pray these prayers. Now we're real quick for the last prayer, Ephesians 3. So pray that prayer over yourself. Watch your growth. Watch the Bible become alive to you. Watch the messages become alive to you more than they ever have before. Ephesians 3 and verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know Paul's going to pray the Word. We know the Word is Spirit, so we can pray these too. Of whom the whole family in heaven is his name. That he would grant unto Caleb, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by Spirit in the inner man. That Christ would dwell in my son's heart by faith. That Caleb would be rooted and grounded in love. That Caleb would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And that Caleb would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now get this. That Caleb, listen to what you're praying for people. That Caleb would be filled with all the fullness of the perfect one. What more could you want than to be filled with the fullness of God? What more is there to ask? Because if he's filled with the fullness of God, woohoo! Pray those prayers every day for spouses that don't know, but don't have the revelation, that aren't as hungry for as God for you, for family members, for kids, for parents, for coworkers that are born again, for people that just don't know. Pray these prayers for them. Hallelujah. Be Spirit-led. God will lead you who to pray for and who not to pray for and things like that. Amen?
Amen.
Know your seat, people. Know your seat.
Yeah,
don't let the devil come in and just take whatever. You have a ticket to all these things. Take your seat and don't let anyone occupy it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. So grateful, so thankful for the word. So grateful, so thankful for where you've put us, Father. We're thankful for that. You've seated us far above heavenly places. Far above the devil. Devil, I remind you, I just think it would be fun to remind you of something real quick here. I just want to remind you, you're under my feet. Yep, my dirty, stinky feet. You are under them, and you will stay under them, and you are defeated, and you are going to spend eternity in hell. You are going to be tormented, and you can do nothing about it. You'll never be redeemed. You're weak. You're a liar. Your fault. You've been defeated. Healing is ours. Prosperity is ours. Peace is ours. You're a defeated foe. That's why you make so much noise. That's why you try to deceive, because that's the only thing you have left is deception. The only thing you have left is to cause a ruckus, to kick up a dust storm. But when we go through the dust and we see you for who you really are, you're a defeated foe who's been stripped, the Bible says, who's been brought to naught, who's been paralyzed by Jesus. You are nothing. You are weak. You are worthless. You are a liar. And we absolutely take our place and authority over you. So enjoy your place on your back looking up at us while we walk into every single thing that God has provided. No longer are we going to be okay. No longer are we going to be just fine with you trespassing into the areas of our life in which we have a ticket to sit down. No longer will a little bit of sickness be okay. No longer will lack be okay. No longer will a little bit of oppression or depression or worry or fear or anxiety be okay. Nope, we have a ticket to freedom from those things, and we're going to take our ticket. That ticket was paid for. It was not cheap. It was expensive. It was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take our place, and we're going to take our place of authority, and we're going to walk in, we're going to charge forward, and hallelujah, we're going to just tear you up. Hallelujah. So get ready. You might have hoodwinked many of God's children, but it's not going to be the case here. Get ready, devil, because you got a fight coming to you. Hallelujah. We're equipping the body of Christ. We're equipping people to get ready to go after what's theirs, to walk in this freedom that is ours. So we can take our place so the world can see. When the world's hurting, they can see there's more. When things need to be done, we'll be the ones that fund it. When things need to be done, we'll be the ones that do it, because we'll have the healthy bodies. Glory to God. We bless you, Father. Just thank Him. He paid for that for you. He paid for that for you. He paid for it. Oh, man. How terrible would it be if I bought you all a $50 gift card to your favorite restaurant and you just threw that in the garbage? It was paid for. That meal was paid for. How sad it is that healing's left on the table. It was paid for. Prosperity was paid for. Our peace was paid for. Our protection, oh, it was paid for. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you. If there's anybody here that's never received Him with heads bowed and eyes closed, you've never personally made Jesus your Lord. You might believe in Him and you might go to church, but you've never said, Lord, come into my heart. If you're listening by live stream or the archives in the future, or if you're here right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you just lift your hand? Nobody's looking around. Anybody that's never done that before? Anybody? I see that hand. Praise the Lord. You can put that down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody? Well, Father, there was a hand, and there might be people that are listening or in the future. So we just thank you right now. Let's just go ahead and lift our voice to Him and ask Him to come into our heart. Everybody say,
Dear Jesus,
I believe you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that and you meant that prayer, you never have to pray that again. In service, you'll never have to raise your hand again. You might have to ask forgiveness at times, but you'll never have to. He didn't leave you when you messed up, is what I'm trying to say. And so, praise God. You just go forward knowing you're His. Hallelujah. Well, were you blessed this morning?
Amen.
I sure was. Hopefully, we'll see every single one of you Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.